Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Verses 31 through 35. And if you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Then Jesus said to them, "Tonight all of you will run away because of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter told him, "Even if everyone runs away because of you, I will never run away." "I assure you," Jesus said to him, "tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." "Even if I have to die with you," Peter told him, "I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Father God, thank you again, Lord, tonight for your word. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Move. The Spirit's power and presence as only you can. We give you full and free reign. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 31 again, then Jesus said to them, "Tonight all of you will run away because of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." You know, we just think that that is, again, indicative of this period with them, and that, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. I would go tonight and I would lay down my life if requested to do so, or lose my life. Yeah, I would. Oh, no, I would never deny. First thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Apart from the Holy Spirit's power and our yielding, we would all fall away. Again, the older I get, the more aware I am of my feet of clay. The closer I walk with Christ, the more desperate I realize I am for Him. His power, His presence. You know that I realize every single day that I cannot be the husband, the father, the friend, the pastor, anything that God has commanded me to be unless I live in a state of complete desperation spiritually for Him. It's one of the reasons that I must get up in every morning and get in God's Word. I have no other choice. It doesn't have anything to do with me being more spiritual than you or someone else. In all reality and honesty, I'll tell you what it has to do with. It has to do with I am well aware of my brokenness apart from my continual fellowship with the Father. I am aware that I'll never hear my Father's voice if I refuse to allow Him to speak to me. I realize that apart from my humble submission to His purpose, His plan, His will, His restraining grace, that there is nothing more than brokenness, hurt, and pain that will literally be my life song in short order. See, the Holy Spirit's power is the motor of our spiritual condition right now. Or I sure hope it's yours. Because again, there is no power apart from the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us as a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ. What you will see in a person who is spiritual but does not lack the Spirit of God that indwells them is a perpetual cycle of this. This is the top, this is the bottom. They will continually hit the bottom, the top, the bottom, the top. And by the way, it can be cyclical and far, very far reaching. But you will never see them in a consistent state as you hear me talk about the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, we will have emotional highs and lows, but one rooted in Christ has this. The sustaining part of their walk with Christ is the consistent thing in their life. Though they may battle emotional, the joy of the Lord will be that thing that even in the midst of the deepest of pain, struggles, hurt, that will be the consistent thing in them. Doesn't matter how hard the situation might get, how difficult it might get, that is the thing that is the constant. The Lord never leaves us and never forsakes us. So therefore, one of those signs of a follower of Jesus Christ that has undergone a transforming work of God is that you see the work of God as the sustaining factor in their life. Many of our forefathers struggle with deep, dark periods of depression. Anybody know that? The hymn, I don't remember his name right now. We sang it, I remember, last week. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I reference it quite often. He struggled with great, great levels of depression. Why is that verse? Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, O Lord, and seal it for thy courts above. What he was saying is, I recognize that I am prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, take my heart. He was saying, I'm willing it to you, but take it and seal it for your courts, not for the world, not for sin. Don't make me an agent of unrighteousness through my inability to control myself. Take it and will me and seal me for your purpose and your plans. That's pretty awesome. But to me, I see in that the great depth of his suffering, the extent of his own ability to be keenly aware of how fragile he in and of himself was, struggling with this intense hatred for his own faithlessness or his own inability to yield to the Spirit, and prone to leave the God I love. It's powerful. See, apart from the Holy Spirit's power and our yielding, we would all fall away tonight. It's not one of us. Exactly how we sigh. Tonight all of you will run away because of me. And then the second, verse 33, Peter tells him, even if everyone runs away because of you, I will never run away. Every time I read that, it's like, Peter, shut up. Don't say another word. Be quiet, Peter. You said too much already. Be quiet. Second thing comes out of that verse, pride will lead us to believe we have the ability to stand firm on our own. If I've not heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Every time I hear it, it makes me cringe. Someone will come up to me in jubilation and giddy and say, man, I'm really doing good. I've been doing good. With which the sick feeling overtakes me as they're talking. I try not to let it show on my face. And I tell them there's only one indicator that gives me great trouble is the word I that you just said. Because I is nothing more than a 90-foot-long metal I-beam that's about 3 inches thick that prevents God from doing anything in our life. Whenever there is an I in the sentence, it's the removal of him. Remember, because it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And you will probably notice, anytime you say, man, that message was amazing this morning, I will say, praise God. That's my response. It's not, well, you're welcome. I can't say that because I can't take credit for the work of God. If I do that, not only have I received the only praise that I will get, but I will deflect the glory that could be deflected to the Lord and reflected in his character, nature, and I actually deflect it away from him like it should not be done. Because in essence, I'm stealing something that I have no right to. Is it good to express that God speaks? Yeah, absolutely. But you will watch in my response, I want all the glory to go to him. So that's why I say praise God, because it is he who is going to be praised, should be praised. And by God's grace, I will never fall victim to self-exaltation or to let someone exalt me, because that is the battle in the human flesh, has been even for the 13 years in ministry here, plus the time that I was ministering before this. Because the human condition, again, is desperately wicked and desperately depraved, and we've got to be keenly aware all the time that any single one of us at any moment can be taken captive by that philosophy. You will go to churches. I can take you to churches right now for a fact myself, where I know where they are in Baltimore, Maryland, where you would think a king, actually I can tell you one right now in Murfreesboro that I can take you to and let you witness it. You would think that a king showed up on Sunday morning when the pastor arrives. Now, do I believe that you should dishonor your pastor and treat him like dirt? No, that's actually foolish. The Bible says, do not lay hands on my prophet, do not curse my anointed. I would not incur, and it has nothing to do with me. Something happens to me, I die, I go 10-8, 10-7, get out of here, do something weird and stupid, and flush my life down the toilet. God sends somebody else in here. Don't lay hands on them. Don't curse them. And I mean that. God's word says it. You're not cursing that person, you're cursing God. It's the office that God has established. God has anointed. It's not my office, it's His. But these churches, they treat the pastors like a king. I know one of them that gave their pastor a Bentley. Y'all know me, I'd be so ashamed. I'd have a Yugo emblem on the if you ever gave me one. I'm literally liable to go home and shave every emblem off it and run it through the auction this week because I couldn't be caught dead in one of those things. Now, a Tesla, the $36,000 one, we'll talk. Right? But I'm just saying, you got to be really careful because it's not about exalting the servant leader or should be servant leader. It's not about taking the office that God established to be one of servanthood and exalting that to one that should be served. Again, the human condition, we battle with the depravity and the desperate nature to make Christianity, to make the body of Christ, the ecclesia, this ecclesia, the established church body in the New Testament. We're going to get ready to start Acts next Sunday morning. The established New Testament church was the ecclesia, the body that was started in homes. It was never meant to be one with which someone is exalted. No, it was meant to admonish, to encourage, to challenge, exhort in the word, the preaching and teaching of the word and the fellowship of believers, breaking bread together daily. We see in Acts chapter 2 with the coming of the Spirit. That's what followers of Jesus Christ taking part in a biblically established body of Christ is all about. It's not about any one person. It's not about a denomination. It's about a Savior. It's about Jesus. It should have always been that way, and it always should be that way, and in so many cases, it is not. It's been morphed into something that honestly is completely contradictory to everything godly, righteous, just, and wholesome. And that's been my desire at Longview for the last 13 years, is to bring a clear reflection of God's glory to the forefront, as you hear me say continually, in all things Him preeminent, meaning He is number one. And it should not only be in this body of Christ, but it should be in our individual lives too. If you desire to see the work of the Spirit and watch God bless you exponentially, meaning in a very big way. But it's got to be in the proper order. Same way as I said this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your strength is your number one commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, number three is you. Right, there you go. So everybody else gets first dibs and you get the leftovers. That's what the Bible says. Greater love is no one than this, than what? A man lays down his life for his friend. It's all about self-denial. It's about placing everyone in a position higher than yourself. That's not easy. It goes against the very nature that we are trained, as I said this morning, referenced the Whitney Houston song in the 80s. As a matter of fact, I almost remember when that was released, if I am correct. Ferraro. Geraldine Ferraro and Mondo. Mondo Ferraro versus Reagan. 1986? That was 86, yeah. 1986. I can still see the signs. I can still see. By the way, he just died a couple weeks ago. Mondale did. If you didn't know that, you know it now. But that song came out right when that was. Greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. I'll be honest with you, I'll never forget it the rest of my life. Didn't understand it then. I learned it because it played everywhere. I used to ice skate, and they would play that. It was one of those songs they just played in rotation over and over again. Well, I was ice skating, so I'm thinking, and I was a person that was multifaceted in the sense that I could think, sing, and do everything else. So it began to burn itself in my mind. And I remember as I got older beginning to think the greatest love of all, loving yourself. What about we focus on yourself? But yes, that was honestly, that was the heart's cry of my generation growing up. It was not about anybody else. It was about yourself. The Michael Jackson era, all of that. Opulence, decadence. But what does that do? Distracts you from what the true call of God is on our lives, which is to focus on everyone else first. See, pride will lead us to believe that we have the ability to stand on our own, that it's about me. It's about what I deserve because everybody else has been bad to me, and woe is me, and I'll go everywhere. And if I sit down and ask, have you ever said anything positive ever in your lifetime to anyone? That's my question to you. How about having an honest conversation with yourself? Those online too. Let's do this. Let's do a step out of self. When was the last time that you can remember in a conversation with someone saying anything, man, God is just so good. I don't know what to say. I said to you earlier, brother, you remember, I saw serious too. I said, how you doing? Hey, if I was any better, God would have to apologize to you. That's what I'm saying. That well, now, in my heart of hearts, am I literally doing so incredible that I have nothing that I could even say, complain about? Let me just tell you, I had a sick child at home last night. I got up at 1:30 this morning. I've been up ever since. Do the math on it. That's a long time. Same thing yesterday. I haven't slept past about 2:15 in the whole entire last week. You don't think I'm worn out? You've got another thing coming. My back feels like I'm about to fall over. You want me to go on? Anybody want me to come in on Sundays and tell you how I feel? No, I can promise you don't want to hear about it. So guess what I do? I remove myself from that, and I won't be a part of it. Amen? I dwell in the spirit, man, not in that flesh. I rebuke it. Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm living in the God's been so good to me, I'd have to apologize to you if it feels any better. Doctor gave me 6 shots in my back when I went in last week. He has this little thing. I don't know what it looked like. I know what it sounded like, and I know what it felt like. After he gave me those injections, he put this big thing that vibrates on my back to make that medicine that he put in there move out there so it worked better. I've had a fusion. That means the bottom of my back is all bone. There's no skin down there besides a little bit on top of the bone. Friends, he hit where that fusion is, and I want to tell you what. Back in my lost days, he would have heard some words that would have made him cringe, and everybody in the office would have known what I felt like at that moment. Emily said, did you say anything? I said, nope. Didn't want him to think I was a wimp. Not the time to holler. Not the time to complain and whine. Every time he hit that on one side, I would go, And he'd go to the other side, and he'd hit, you want to hear some more? You know what I'm saying? We all have something we can complain about. Nobody's heard that story in here because I'm not telling you. I'm not going to sit around and talk to you about the things in my life that are hurting because we don't have that amount of time, and I don't want you to go, I don't want to get around Brother Jonathan. He don't ever talk about anything positive. Do you? Are you that person that has that ability? Yep, people have tough times. There's times you need to share. You know what? I'm having a rough week. I'm hurting. But you better make sure that's not your heart song, because guess what happens? You're giving the devil the glory when you do it. God's been too good, and there are too many things that we can thank God for. And every one of us could sit in here and whine all night long about what's wrong, but why don't we think about what God's done good? Because there is so much. My mama taught me that. Y'all don't realize, my mama lives with some troubling physical battles. She won't talk about them. You can ask her about them. She'll never tell me what they really are like. I know she's got a rough go. Not only with the cancer stuff, the place they burnt, they plumb cooked her with that radiation 10 years ago, whatever, 15 years ago. She's got Sjogren's. She has no saliva in her mouth. She has to take these little things that try to keep it. It's bad. She can't eat anything hot. Burns her mouth to pieces. Nothing. I mean, she can't eat anything that has any kind of spice in it, or it literally burns her mouth all to pieces. You won't hear my mama talk about that. You see my mother with a smile, and my mama, you get about 5 minutes with her, and you'll hear what Jesus is doing in her life, and she'll ask you how you're doing. You won't hear my mother complain. My mama cares about people's eternal destinations, not what her physical body's enduring in the now. I learned a good lesson in my mother's growing up, my mom. I learned that in my father. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey, that humble honor, that humility, considering others above yourselves, growing up my entire lives with missionaries and traveling pastors, whoever it was, it didn't matter what time of the night or day, my parents would open their home to anyone who needed a place to stay. My mother would cook for them. My mother would provide anything and everything they needed. As a matter of fact, you'd have to say, listen, no, I don't need food. I don't want food. No, I know. That's how serious my mother is about hospitality and trying to feed. She would literally, you'd look like a stuffed pig when you left the house. She would feed you till you blew up. But that is my mother's way of ministering. She has a ministering spirit. She wants to take care of your needs. You're hurting? She will give you every fix on the planet for what ails you, because she's a fixer. She wants to help you. She's a nurse. That's why. That's what my mom is. My mom does it with a godly heart. My mom will help you with the external pain, but then she'll talk to you about what causes the internal. Most important part, the spiritual. See, that pride lets you believe that we have that ability to stand on our own. Oh, no, no, we're not emotional. We're not like that. We don't cry. We don't, you just go in and put whatever it is in there your mom or your dad taught you. Oh, no, we don't grieve. We're tough. You go on and do that. I'm going to tell you what, it's straight from hell. It is straight from hell. God gave us emotion. I can promise you there's been people in 13 years ago, my gosh, that guy is some kind of wimp, gets up here and cries every time he starts talking. Just keep talking. I don't care what you think, in all honesty. I'm just going to say it honestly. You know why? Because I know this man used to not cry. I'd punch you in your mouth, but I'd never cry. See, I was suppressing the God-given emotion that God gave me that is supposed to be expressed. You ready? Frustration turned outwards anger. You keep talking to me about that anger. You know what I'm going to show? Someone inside that really needs to cry big time. I know it's in there. You can keep playing all day long. Mr. Hard Cop 31, don't play that routine with me. I'll embarrass you if you ever play that in front of me, in front of a group of people. Oh, I don't ever cry. You just keep telling yourself that because you're lying. You're lying. You're lying. Your mom and daddy deeply scarred you, and I would challenge you to rise above that and let come out. Why? Before you ruin your kids. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not what I think. I know. I know. You show me a man that will not cry, and I'll show you a man not to trust. Why? Because he can rob you with a straight face. He can emotionally rob you with a straight face. If he doesn't have a heart for God, he'll never cry. But a man that is soft to the things of the Lord can't keep it in, because God's been so good to him, and he recognizes that. And what has God done? He's taken that heart of stone and he's softened it up. As I shared with you that psalm this morning by Keith Green, he has softened that heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh. The indicator of a heart that's hard is that there's no emotion attached to the person, but a heart of flesh is one that expresses what God himself has created in all of us. And then we move on to verse 34 and 35, and we'll be done. I assure you, Jesus said to him, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Even if I have to die with you, Peter told him, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. Third and final thing tonight I want to share with you is this. Be aware of your weakness and the continual need to be desperate for Christ. Be aware of weakness. Brother John, what are you talking about? All of them. I don't understand. I don't have no weakness. Oh, really? Yes, you do. Give me some time with you. I'll show you weaknesses, and I will point weaknesses in you that you don't know you have. I promise you. Give me time with you, and I'll find your weakest link. I don't need long. Because we all have them. As a matter of fact, if you're the one that goes, I don't have them, I already hit the biggest one, pride. Your pride wants to continue to hide what you're hiding behind. See, be aware of those weaknesses. They're nothing to be ashamed of. They're things that can be dealt with when you're honest with God. And by the way, be honest with God. As I said this morning, he already knows. As a matter of fact, he knows them better than you. Don't hide behind that arrogant, prideful family lineage, by the way. Let me knock on that one a minute. Well, we've always been like, we got a family with pride. We're pride. Oh, you keep saying that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Keep cursing your family lineage. You're going to pass it to your kids. Come out from behind the pride, the arrogance, the hiding, the gossip to keep what? All of that focus off of your weaknesses. We're going to keep talking and going. Why? So that no one ever sees who I really am. Because there's a scared kid behind this. Yeah, I don't trust preachers. I don't trust deacons. I don't trust blah, 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 blah. I keep everybody walled off because I might get hurt. Well, really? Bet you wouldn't hurt somebody. Actually, I'll be honest with you. If you're one of those people, you'd hurt people worse than anyone. Hurt people hurt others. Best thing you can do is get honest with yourself. I'm just going to tell you what brutal honesty. What's brutal honesty? It's like explosive vomiting. Get it all out. Just start with a fresh slate. You know why? It's what I always said. I said to somebody the other day, I love living with my closet open. What do you mean? There ain't no skeletons that can fall out. Y'all have heard me. I've been brutally honest with you. Probably more than anybody would. Why? Because guess what? I don't have to worry about today what I said. And oh no, I wonder if something might slip. And I don't want that to happen. I know people that in my condition wouldn't want to say, oh, I used to battle alcohol. Man, I was rough and I didn't. Yeah. They wouldn't want to say that. Well, I don't want them to think that I might have been a bad person. But see, people do that. Pastors scared of that. Church pew people, I don't want them to find out what I was. Really? You don't want them to find out that you once were lost, but now you're found, was blind, but now you see? Oh, because then they might find something in common and they might end up coming to Christ because they realize that, hey, if God can do it in you, he can do it in me. We're going to keep playing that self-righteousness that, man, I just got it all together. Yeah. That's why I think it was so awesome when we had the first revival at Longview Baptist Church. If you remember, Ron Smart came in. Remember him? The man that murdered all those people? After he was at the pastor's house, after getting out on parole, had come to Christ. He was paroled to a pastor's house. He was working construction. They were trying to get him to go drink. He said, no, I got saved. I'm not going to do that. It was a pastor's house. One night opened the door and there was a six-pack of beer in there. So he stands on a Friday night. He says to the pastor sitting at dinner, hey, is it an issue? I saw you had some beer in the refrigerator. What do you think about drinking? Well, as long as you do it in moderation, that's no issue. Well, he went out that night. And he killed all those people that night. And remember, he was supposed to die in the South Carolina electric chair. He played the recording of them saying, Mr. Ron Smart, you will die in the South Carolina electric chair. spent 60 years in prison, became an ordained Southern Baptist pastor, was never thinking he'd ever see the light of day. God had him paroled 18 years ago, still preaching now. God gave him a godly wife, loves Jesus. But I got wind one time. I got wind that someone said, I can't believe he'd bring someone like that in this church to preach. And the person that said that to me had heard someone say that to them. And I said this, I said, well, thank God I didn't have Paul come. Because they'd have really had a problem with him. Amen? But I think it was so beautiful when you see the picture of what God can do. That's why I say it's so important to share where God's brought you from. I've had pastors, dear pastor friends, they'd never drank, they'd never smoked. They were dear friends of mine. I can't talk to them about a battle I have mentally, a struggle that I'm having. They don't know what it's like. But I can talk to someone who's been there. You know what it's like when you have a battle every once in a while? And I'm saying this because I don't have an issue battling alcohol. Thank you, Jesus. It's a God thing. I will tell you every once in a while I'm somewhere and I'll smell someone. The moment they light a cigarette up for about a second and a half, I'll say, man, that smells good. And then it starts to smell like a septic tank. And I'm like reminded, man, I'm thanking God he delivered me from that. I don't ever have the battle to want to smoke. So I'm thankful for that. But don't think I don't have the battle to get out of this place, walk out of here, and be selfish. I will be perfectly honest with you tonight. So I'm having to get myself in front of pastors that'll battle rebellion at times because I need them to challenge me to understand that that's a normal thing that at times you battle, and we pray about it, and I've got to continually be reminded that, you know what, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I've got to be faithful to his call. And there's no place in the life of a follower of Christ to be selfish and self-serving. I've got to yield myself to him, his wants, his wills, his desires, and even when you want to justify that, right? Well, you know, I got a little church right around the corner from us. It's right around the corner. Where Loft Church started, they ain't got nobody there. It's open, and I pass by it every time, and it's like, you know, hey, it'd be real easy right there. We got a bunch of friends down there that'd go. And I know Mr. Coffey'd let me use it, wouldn't charge a penny. But see, then I'm reminded, no, God hadn't called me out there. God's called me here. The same way that when those churches in Murfreesboro and other places have wanted me to come, God reminded me, I didn't call you there, I've called you here. And see, that's what you gotta, and I have to be reminded of. Sin comes in so many forms, even masquerading as another church that would have more people and a bigger building so I could reach more people, right? Wrong. God's called me here, not there. Where's God called you? You want humble honor? It happens being faithful right where God has you. And I'm not even talking about this building. I'm talking about in your walk with Christ. You humbly serve the Lord God of creation in the midst of your life, no matter how difficult things might be. You know what God will do? He will bless you beyond measure. Does that mean you're going to be on that glory street like the guy on TV says, and there's going to be money just flowing out of every part of your body? That right there is straight from hell too. Because God never promised us a lottery spiritually when we chose to follow him. As a matter of fact, he actually promised us quite contradictory in many cases, suffering and trials and tribulations. We've got the promise he's going to provide our needs, so stop hollering about a new this and a new that and a bunch of windfall money. I'll supply all your needs according to my glorious riches in Jesus Christ. What more of a promise do you need? Stop playing the Powerball and lying to yourself that you're going to pay the church off and build a new school whenever you win it. You're lying. I'm just being honest with you. You're trying to do that to get God to let you hit it. I know this because I've watched the stories of people who profess to be Christians that did win it. You know what happened? All of a sudden, they forgot about all that stuff after they hit the lottery. Be honest with yourself. You're fighting the spirit of greed. You're throwing those in there and you're picking those numbers. Why? Not so you can use that as a resource with which to reach Christ. I'm going to dead up serious tell you. If Bruce, you've been in the plane business, you had a jet tonight and you said, listen, I'll take you somewhere every week. There's a church that will, a little church somewhere that doesn't have a pastor, and you can go and preach on Wednesday night or Thursday nights to them. I'll be on, I'm going to jump it on, brother. We're going. It won't interfere with my ability to minister to Longview Baptist Church, and it would be another way to preach the gospel and be back home and be in bed by well, a little later in bedtime for me because it's 8 o'clock at the latest. It's 5 minutes from my bedtime now. You think I'm joking? But I'd go and hopefully be home by 10 o'clock at night. If I could go and preach the gospel, I would be able to accomplish two things. I'd be able to fly. I love to fly. I'd be able to get into experience, fellowship with a brother, go down, do what I love most, preaching the gospel, being obedient to God's word, share the gospel with some church that did not have someone to share the gospel with, and be back home in my bed at night. That right there would be one of the neatest blessings if God so willed and deemed that to be what he wanted me to do. That wouldn't be wrong. But if I lied to myself and said, Lord, let me hit the lottery so I can get a jet and just start preaching all over the place, who am I fooling? Amen? Who am I fooling, honestly? If God blessed you with one in the proper context because you've been faithful and he's so deemed necessary or seemed lovingly desired to give that to you to be an agent with which he knew he could entrust you to preach and teach the gospel more effectively, he'd do it and you wouldn't have to compromise to do it. That's the difference. But when you're out there compromising, hoping that the glory train's coming down the road and convincing yourself you're going to do the right thing with it, I'm sorry, there is no humble honor in that. There's pride in it. There's greed. And let me just tell you, as a closing reminder, the love of money is the root of all evil. Please make sure you put the qualifier in there, the love of money. Money is not bad. There's nothing wrong with money. It is the love of money. Keep that in the proper context. If God blesses you with money, you make sure now you're faithful with where you're at so that you will be trustworthy with it if he gives it to you. So that you will not lose your mind if one day, for whatever reason, a loved one, mother, father, leaves you a windfall, let's say financial windfall, you'd be so in love with the Lord, so faithfully plugged in spiritually so that when you get it, you don't even change gears in your life. You just steady more, keep on doing what you are, and guess what you can do? God, thank you for giving me this opportunity to sow into your kingdom for your glory, your power, and your honor, and to bless people. Praise God. Because that's what it's all about. There's one thing I do know. Dead people don't spend money. Their kids do. I was with a person yesterday. Somehow it came up about dying one day. And they said this pretty cool. They went, I've got my estate divided up. It's 33 and whatever percent. And the person that's the executor has got 34%. They get 1% more. This is what's cool. I didn't know they could do this. Ready? If anybody causes trouble or contests the will, that person is immediately removed from the estate and it's divided up among the other two. Praise the Lord. Y'all put it in your will. I'm serious. Because that scoundrel of a child you have is going to ruin your family, if not all of them. I'm serious. Well, that's cool, isn't it, Carol? She's in banking, so that's, you know. I didn't know you could do that. I thought, what an awesome way to do that. You know what that does? Hey, Victory in Jesus, they're going to be singing. They're going to be singing Kumbaya and loving each other to death. Why? Because they get nothing if they start acting donkey. See, be aware of your weaknesses. Keep aware of your continual need for Christ. And I would challenge you in that part, be aware of your children's weaknesses one day when you leave. Do not set a bear trap for your family spiritually by miring them down with something that will destroy your family and the subsequent generations from any fellowship together. Why? Because I know a situation right now. A child was a big part of the farm and the family. Parents left it to the one who had stayed on the farm while the rest of them had taken off and started their life. Been in court over 10 or 15 years now. The other two fighting them. We deserve to have the farm sold and our part given to us. How shameful. But that's what happens if you're not careful. See, they went and made their fortunes going and doing. The one person stayed and farmed, didn't make enough, just barely got by. Now they're having to spend all this time and money defending, hanging on to the farm that's become the family's livelihood, all because of the greed of the ones that went into the corporate world and said, well, I want what's mine. What do you want tonight in your life and your family honor and your lineage? You want humble honor? You better recognize, just like Peter there with his arrogance, hey, I got to die with you, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. Don't ever forget it's by God's grace that we all don't deny him. And as we leave here tonight, be ever mindful of your feet of clay. Be ever mindful of the fact that we could be the most depraved individual that you and I know right now, apart from God's restraining grace. Pray that God would keep us ever desperate for him with a heart of flesh that is continually reminded of his love for us, the blessing of God, but also keenly aware of the enemy's desire to steal everything that is godly or righteous, wholesome, and beautiful from the window of not only our life, but anyone in our life that we have any part of. He desires complete and utter destruction. Let's pray. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.